and Jim Toronto with you this morning, filling in for Bill and Wendy. We'll be here till noon, about 50 minutes or so. At 11:30, we will have mayoral candidate Paul Vallis in the studio talking about his candidacy. As Chicago mayoral politics will definitely be on the front burner at the beginning of 2019, probably starting today, and starting tomorrow, probably New Year's Day, right up until February 26th, when the mayoral election in Chicago is, and if there is a runoff, then that will extend until April. So we will definitely have Chicago politics front and center at the beginning half of 2019. But right now, we want to take a little look back, at least, at some of the, well, I guess the main story, in my view, for 2018, as we sort of say goodbye and give our final wave. Only a couple hours left. I mean, think about it, folks. What do we got? 11 o'clock? So not even 12 hours left. And little baby New Year, old man 2018 will be walking out, and little baby New Year will be coming back in with his diapers on. So we have on the phone here Mr. Mick Kaler, my pop culture guru. How you doing there, Mick?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good, good, good. Did you have a good 2018? How would you rate your 2018?
You know, I really did. It was very positive. Unfortunately, several people I know did not have a good 2018, and I was telling someone the other day, I went to 5 wakes in the last month.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, just several people. It was just by happenstance. You know, one was a coworker, somebody that I knew from swimming this past summer, and some other people lost family members. So that was kind of a down, you know, way to spend your days, in funeral homes talking to people.
Yeah.
But other than that, no, it was a pretty good year. I look forward to 2019 being a better year.
Well, real quickly, I wanted to just say I was talking about the big moments of 2018, and for me, I would say, do we have that, Curtis? I still cannot believe this happened on October 19th in Madison Square Garden. In New York City, while I was attending my 182nd Elton John concert, this happened.
There's so many people here tonight who are my friends. There's one person I want to dedicate this song to because I've been talking about you guys out there. This guy from Chicago has been to so many shows. He's one of the loyalest fans in the world. I've never dedicated a song to him, but tonight I'm dedicating this to Jim Toronto. This is for you, baby.
I still can't believe that.
That was the highlight not only of the year, but for your life.
Yeah, pal. I mean, that was. I mean, I had no clue that was going to happen. And I was right in the front, and he looked right at me and dedicated Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, which is actually one of my favorite songs of his. But wow, that still, I have that, not surprisingly, I have that on a CD in my car.
Okay, and keep playing it.
And I just keep hitting play every so often.
That should be your ringtone.
Yeah, I know. Wow.
And Jim and I have talked about this before, but I always get concerned when I see pictures of Jim in the front row at Elton John concerts because it means Elton's security detail has failed with that 500 yards or further away restraining order that they have out on Jim.
Well, so. You could say that, but I mean, come on. Those are just silly jokes because...
I guess so.
You know, people have said to me many times, does he know you? You go to all these concerts. I think I can honestly say with some confidence now, yes, he does know me.
There you go.
I can say that. And what I was most impressed about was he said my name correctly.
Right. It wasn't Torino,
yeah.
Toronto.
Good for you, Elton. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what I think was the story of 2018. Now, and there were a lot of stories, don't get me wrong. And some were good stories, and some were very tough stories. We had the murder of the journalist, the Turkish journalist, and we had once again shootings,
school shootings
in schools,
right.
Which were terrible. We had some horrible natural disasters. So every year has its good, its high points as well as its low points. But I have to say, when you talk about one story that's, from my standpoint, really seemed to capture many layers of the public intrigue, it had legal ramifications, it had pop culture ramifications, it had societal ramifications, it all came into one, and I believe that really was the confirmation hearing in September of Judge Brett Kavanaugh. I mean, talk about
that. Definitely was a major deal, without question.
I mean, it really it's like I said. Not only did it impact so many different layers of our society, but it the most important one for me, being this kind of voice in the wilderness, screaming about how we're becoming so isolated because of the growth of technology. For the first time in many years, this was a communal experience. Everybody was watching the same thing for a couple of days.
Well, yeah.
At the same time.
For many of the reasons you just said, Jim, as far as, you know, it involved sex, it involved culture, it involved changing mores, male and female relationships, you know, the way things used to be as opposed to what's accepted now with behavior. There were all these different factors in there that were major hot buttons that somebody had a story from. Like, you've been at a party where somebody was drunk, or you've been at a party where this happened, or you might have done this or that. Everyone's got something like that in their past, so that's why I think they glued into this.
Well, I mean, first of all, like I said, we've got the legal implications, obviously, as a Chief Justice of the United States, and then, of course, the idea, the political ideologies and people concerned about if he's too conservative, are certain rights going to go away, especially the right to an abortion. Everybody very keyed in on that. This played into the Me Too movement because there were sexual allegations against him. This went into the pop culture world, as you said, because it was about, you know, defining the role of men and women. And what's interesting is it's always difficult to take today, you know, the mores and the perspectives of one era and then go back and put them on that one from 30 or 40 years ago, because times were different.
Exactly. And the one thing that I learned from all this, and you also mentioned the Me Too movement, when all this stuff came to a head, I heard from many different female friends of mine who've got stories that were kind of similar to what the woman was claiming with Kavanaugh that I never knew about. And all of a sudden there was this, I wouldn't say silent majority, but certainly a silent contingent of people that were like, hey, I've been in her position and I never told anybody.
And as I said, you know, through our history, you know, like I said, there was in 1956, you can talk to people and say, you know, they were watching the Ed Sullivan Show when Elvis was on, and the world changed. In fact, in Bruce Springsteen's new Broadway show, he says the revolution was televised, and it was televised on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1956 when Elvis performed and changed the world.
Right, everything stopped. Everything got moved from there, exactly.
And then in 1964, once again, the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan. You had 1969, which were going to be commemorating in 2019, the landing on the moon. And then you had Watergate in 1973. Obviously, you had 9/11. These were communal, the O.J. Simpson trial, where everybody was watching the same thing. And we've become so isolated now. We do our own thing. We time shift. We watch. We stream. There's very few communal cultural events, but this was one in September.
Yeah, without question. In fact, I was even teaching it to my middle school social studies students. We were talking about the Supreme Court and all that was going on. And to be honest, it was interesting to see their reactions because they're younger, but they understood the implications of the past and how things have changed. And it was really a really interesting experience. It didn't really matter how it turned out, just the fact that people were so focused in on it.
Now, for me, the highlight, I don't know if it's a highlight, but one of the more interesting aspects of the entire Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearing struck home for me, and it was not where you would think. I'm not getting into the sordid part of it, allegedly. It was the revelation that Brett Kavanaugh used a date book.
Right.
That he had his calendar of events from back in 1982, where he was saying, hey, look, I have this calendar from 1982, and I don't see any party on here. And everybody was shocked that someone would have a date book or have a calendar where they wrote down all their events. And I'm sitting there going, hey, gang, I use a date book to this day, and I have about 15 years worth of mine in a file cabinet. And I love going through my date book, and I love having my hard copy day planner. In fact, about 3 weeks ago, I went to Target and bought my 2019, and I'm already all set.
So the good news is, if anybody ever accuses you of something untoward, right. You can go back to those old calendar date books and say, hey, wait a minute, no, I wasn't there then.
Right, but I was saying, hey, everybody was giving Brett Kavanaugh a hard time for, oh, wow, is he out of touch, or why would, what a square ball, or why would he have this date book? And I said, hey, I've got my daily planner. I love my daily planner. In fact, when I used to love, when I had a desk at work, remember the giant calendar that you would put on your desk?
That was your blotter. I had one of those when I was back in my radio days. I always had one of those, as well as a date book that helped me plan out things that we're going to do for radio shows. Sure.
Yeah, it was so cool. You put it on your desk. It had this nice little holder for it, and then you wrote on there. And then when the month was up, I used to love like lifting up the page and going and ripping off that month and sticking it underneath. And then, of course, remember the little date thing that you could flip with the three rings?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, the little thing. I had one of those on my desk, too.
I didn't have one of those, but I had the date book because that's how I would plan stuff out. But I didn't save mine every year, whether it was a personal one or professional one like you have.
Like I said, like what I will do today, I will go back and look at my 2018 and go through from January to December, and I'll go, oh, that's right. I went out. Oh, that's right. We did that. We went here. I did this. Da, 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 da. You know, you'd be surprised how you forget things. So
sure.
Regardless of whether you like Brett Kavanaugh politically or personally, whatever, I'm not getting into that aspect. But I have to say that at least on the date book thing, I was tracking with him.
And you will probably till the day you die, I bet.
Yes, I will. I love it. I hope they don't stop making them. That's my only fear. They're getting harder and harder to find. But
they don't have at the stationery stores?
It's hard to find them. Yeah, because it's really, I mean, I went to Staples and Office Max and they didn't have any.
Wow, I might special order that from Amazon.
Yeah, or they had like half-year ones. I'm like, no, I want a 2019 from January to December. I don't want June of 2018 to June of 2019. I want January to December.
You want to go soup the nuts the whole way.
Exactly. So anyway, we're talking to Mick Kaler here on the Pop Culture Club. I'm Elton Jim filling in for Bill and Wendy. It's about 11:20. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back after this. No switching. Jim Toronto with you here at WGN, 7:20 a.m., filling in for Bill and Wendy. Be here till noon. Right now we are in the midst of being in the Pop Culture Club with Mick Kaler. Mick, I also always, when we do the Pop Culture Club segment, I always have you explain why I play Karma Chameleon. Explain to the people why I play Karma Chameleon as an intro to the Pop Culture Club.
Culture Club, saying Karma Chameleon, we're in the Pop Culture Club. That's it.
There you go. Pop culture. Culture club. Thank you.
Pretty simple. Pretty clever and pretty pithy.
Well, I'll tell you, this show works on so many levels. It's like a Bullwinkle cartoon.
You're right.
There's so many things happening all at the same time here. One of these days, as I said, they're going to find tapes of this show in 40 or 50 years and say, wow, what, he was the Ernie Kovacs of radio.
Underappreciated. Yeah.
You're too old school. There'll be digital files.
I know, exactly. That's why I cling.
Digital downloads that's is what they're going to recover. That's There'll why be I, MP3s somewhere.
That's why I cling to my day planner, and I'm very heartened. I've been looking at the text here, and several people are chiming in and saying how they also have a day planner. They go to TJ Maxx. They found one at Target. They're giving me places to go.
Actually, I've grown up to use the calendar on my phone.
Oh,
because I'm one of those guys that used to be able to keep it all in my head, and then one day it's like, nah, it's too much. Okay,
no.
Just put in the calendar.
Yeah,
it's so much easier.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you definitely. I mean, I remember the days of the Palm Pilot. Remember the Palm Pilot?
Sure. Which,
unfortunately,
stylus on it. Yeah.
That was like kind of the first, personal. What did they used to call it? Like a personal assistant?
PDA.
PDA. Exactly.
Personal digital assistant.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the first time. But I was sitting there, even in those days, I was clutching on to the past and saying, hey, I love my day planner.
Hey, Jim's the guy that his cell phone is actually a rotary dial. So,
well, hey, I have a flip phone, and I am proud of it. And I just found out the other day, I was very excited, I found out I have an alarm on my phone.
There you go.
So look at that. I could use it to wake myself up. That's how great my flip phone is. And I have bowling and Tetris. So I have too many apps on my phone already.
You live in a world of miracle and wonder.
These are the days.
Yeah.
I am the boy in the bubble. There's no question about that.
No doubt. That I will go with.
So I was saying that I thought the Brett Kavanaugh story was probably the story. Would you pick another story out of the year, do you think? Or do you think there was a moment that we should remember about 2018?
No, I really think that was, too, just because, you know, the Me Too stuff started the year before, but it just, again, brought this groundswell up of more stories and more memories of people, and again, different sides of that. And the one thing that struck me when he was testifying, whether you believed him or not, I couldn't believe that guy's anger. And I mean, you could just see the rage that, I mean, he was very upset about the whole thing, but it wasn't like upset like, oh, poor me.
No.
I saw a lot of anger like, whoa, maybe this did happen. I don't know. I have no idea either way, but
he was even
that's what I saw.
He was even challenging the do you have any beer, Senator? What beer do you like? Do you like to you like to drink beer? I don't know. It's 30 years ago, Senator. What do you like to drink? Wow. He's like, whoo, ah.
Yeah, and it's like I didn't expect him to, like, you know, be mousy, but I did not expect him to be jumping like that. But that was a big deal, and I think in 2019, I think whatever the as far as political stuff goes, whatever the Robert Mueller probe into everything yields, I mean, we're obviously going to find out whether it's a lot or a little, and I think that could be a major story into the new year.
Yeah, that's going to be another. Yeah, that's probably that's a great one in terms of looking ahead. That's been going on for at least a year and a half, if not 2 years.
Right.
And it has to come to a head pretty soon. I would assume that 2019, I can't believe they're going to wait till 2020.
No, I think it'll be before then. And like I said, who knows what comes out of it, but I think whatever way it goes, I think that'll be a major story and something to talk about a year from now.
The one thing that I also wanted to mention, you know, you all at the end of the year here, we always talk about some of the celebrities and well-known people that have passed away over the last 12 months. And there's always those in memoriam types of things. And there's always in the newspaper. And this year there was. And there's a lot of people that you forget. I mean, remember we lost John Mahoney, the actor, and Billy Graham, and Milos Forman, the director, Winnie Mandela, Stephen Hawking, Tom Wolfe, the writer, Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain. One of the names that I felt really got overlooked, of course, we lost Stan Mikita, too. But one of the names that really got overlooked, which I felt was really a shame, because I just don't think that people of this era know of him or remember him as well, but the great comedian or comic playwright, Neil Simon, passed away.
I thought about that, too, because I was watching the CBS Sunday Morning Memoriam, the Hail and Farewell, the other day, and I was like, oh, that's right, Neil Simon passed.
Yeah, and he was 91 years old, and, I mean, you know, it's been a while since he's been in the news, but,
right.
You know, he has been in the 20th century, and even into the new century, but certainly in the 20th century, he was responsible. He goes back to creating comedy tastes for this country, or if not the world, going back to the early days of television with Sid Caesar on your Show of Shows. And then, of course, he wrote some groundbreaking plays like The Odd Couple, which is still redone. It was just redone a few years ago with Matthew Perry. It's just one of those constants in comedy. And he really helped shape the form of comedy that we laugh at, and he worked with people like Woody Allen and influenced so many people, and I was really sad to see that his impact was not appreciated as much as I thought. There was a lot said about Stan Lee,
right?
You know, because now everybody is into comic books.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. You said it, Stan Lee. Okay, there's still superhero movies. He's doing all the conventions and things like that. And you're right. Neil Simon was not as active or as out there, but that formation between the movies, but before that, the plays, movies, television too, because Odd Couple TV, you know, on television, other shows that he had influence on. There was a lot there that you're right. I think he was underappreciated. It's a
Brighton
good point.
Beach Memoirs and Lost in Yonkers,
Biloxi Blues, which I love.
Biloxi Blues. So Neil Simon, we have not forgotten you. And who would have thought that? That sitcom and game show regular Elaine Joyce, who married Neil Simon, would wind up getting Odd Couple money when he died. Who would have thought that? Anyway, that ends our Pop Culture Club for 2018. Thank you so much, Mick. We look forward to talking to you in 2019.
All right, buddy. Happy New Year. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Jim Toronto filling in for Bill and Wendy here at WGN 720 AM. It's 11:31, and here is the news with David Jennings.